Well, good morning, everybody. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru. Thanks for tuning in. If you did, if it was an accident, thank you for tuning in by accident. I am glad that you are here. We're going to talk about when things don't go the way they're supposed to today. Life is full of twists and turns. We all go through our ups and our downs, and sometimes the best laid plans end up going off track. Would you agree with that? I was driving back from Knoxville yesterday after dropping my grandson off. We met the other grandparents in Strawberry Plains, and we enjoyed our long weekend with him. But he's headed back to Cincinnati, and we're on our way back, and I'm driving. I'm getting near the split where I-81 and 40 split apart, and I'm topping the hill past the rest area. You know where I'm talking about if you drive that area a lot, coming from just right past the Dandridge exit. And I'm in the fast lane because I'm passing cars that are going slowly in the right two lanes. And there's this Hyundai zooms up behind me and just gets right on my bumper. And he is flashing his lights and actually gesticulating with his hands like he's going to, beat me up from his front seat. And I know what he wants. He wants me to get over, but I'm not getting over. I wasn't being ornery. I was just getting ready to bear left and head up 81. And he didn't like that one bit. And so he got on my rear end. Now, folks, the what you'd like to do is obviously not what you should do or what I should do. I would like to lightly tap on my brakes and put him into a spin, but that's not what I'm going to do. I've learned that those types of reactions lead to worse consequences. I've seen too many videos of road rage, and you know what I'm talking about. It's not a pretty thing. And so I just decided to slow down and get over, and he blew by me. And then he started riding somebody else's tail and flashing his lights and so forth. And I looked at my wife, and she looked at me, and she said, I'm glad you're not reacting to that, because it is really easy to. But, you know, things can run off the rails in a hurry these days. It seems like everybody's in a big hurry, and folks have very little patience for total strangers. Would you agree with that? So, anyway, things like that will happen in life, and also things happen in car dealerships that go off the rails. And I'm going to talk about one here in a minute. I'm going to bring Abby in to help me with this little discussion about some of the documentation and stuff and ways that you can keep yourself out of trouble when you are doing a car deal or when you're actually either handling the financing or even after the sale, obtaining service. There's some things that you can do to avoid things getting out of hand. I think I have seen for many years that folks will lose it when it comes to their children and their vehicles. When it comes to parenting and somebody, a coach doesn't treat your child right or a teacher doesn't. It's just that parents always assume, I think not always, but many times assume that their kids are right and the teachers are wrong when usually it's the other way around. But I've seen a lot of people over the years lose it, and it's never a good thing. I don't know whether it makes them feel better because they displayed their temper and got somebody else to back down. But I've found, and I talk about on this radio show, the reaction, the normal human reaction to somebody losing it with you is usually not good. It takes a very determined spirit to be able to stay calm when somebody's in your face yelling at you. And you know it wasn't your fault, but you're having to cover for somebody else because it is your organization. You know, in the early days, I would like to have said, well, I didn't do the work, but that doesn't work. You know, when you're the boss or when you're the person that they encounter, they hold you accountable. And my dad taught me a long time ago, the first thing you do is apologize. Not that you're wrong, but apologize for the situation. And we'll get to the issue as who's wrong and who's right. But that being said, let's talk about a major issue that came up. It came up in a newsletter from the TAA, which is the Tennessee Automotive Association. Now, that is an organization that helps dealers stay legal and informs them of what's going on as far as laws that may affect car dealers. And that's not just used car or new car dealers, it's used car dealers as well. Laws, it may talk about things that are happening on a federal level, state level, or county level. It also gives us advice as far as how to stay in compliance with everything from OSHA regulations to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, all these different agencies. You would not believe the list of agencies that we have to comply with in order to do business as a car dealer. It's probably not the longest list out there, especially maybe if you're running a chemical plant or a hospital or something like that. They probably have a lot more than we do, but we have a lot. And you can get in difficulty with any of them if you get out of compliance. And so I want to dive into one particular case where a car dealer was sued for something that happens every day in the car business at some dealerships. We do everything we can to avoid any type of misunderstanding when it comes to financing cars. But sometimes it still happens, and it's especially due to a situation called a spot delivery. And we'll talk about that with Abby right after the break. Okay, I'm back. Well, it's not just me. I've got Abby here with me. Say hi, Abby.
Hi. Welcome. Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the radio show. I just needed some help.
Okay.
Ab, because this is kind of a complex subject, but it's very important because I think a lot of consumers get taken advantage of with this thing called a spot delivery. And if you don't mind, just kind of briefly explain what a spot delivery is.
A spot delivery is when a customer signs a contract to purchase a vehicle. This is for vehicles that are financed. This has nothing to do with cash purchases or anything like that. But this is when a customer signs a contract for a vehicle and the bank has not given it the complete green check mark yet. So that means either it is not approved by the bank at all at that point, or the purchase is contingent upon proving something like your income, your time at your residence, your job, that sort of thing.
But the customer, by signing a contract, and really the salespeople, really do push the idea.
They do imply that the vehicle is purchased at that point, yes.
But you have not bought the car, because another form that they'll probably get you to sign is called a conditional delivery form.
Now, this is more likely to happen in certain situations. This is not going to happen every time, but for credit-challenged customers, this can happen when we have to prove that you make a certain income. When you fill out your credit application, we ask you how much money you make. And when we send that to the bank, sometimes if you're credit challenged, they will ask for proof of that income.
And the bank relies on that information to be factual.
Yes, they do.
And if you've been on the job long enough, and if you've, you know, obviously make plenty of income, and it's not too big of a portion of, as far as the monthly payment is not too big of a portion of your income.
Right.
Then they typically won't ask for proof of income.
Right.
We have
had in certain situations where a bank asks for proof of income on customers that we wouldn't believe they would ask.
Yeah. But that's probably because of a low credit score.
A low credit score, or sometimes just a picky buyer. Our person who works at the desk, while you're over there speaking to your salesperson, our desk manager is communicating with the bank that is going to be the one to whom you mail your check.
And this is true for all dealerships.
It's true for all dealerships.
We're not just talking about Gateway. Every dealership uses a sales manager basically to manage that transaction to make sure that, you know, he's telling you what the numbers are as far as the monthly payment or the purchase price or whatever. But at the same time, he is using his computer system to submit the actual deal.
Yes.
The numbers to a bank to get an approval.
And he's communicating via chat. Sometimes they're talking on the phone. They're trying to get better rates for you. So that desk manager is not up there just working our numbers for the sales department. They're also communicating with the person who's going to be financing your vehicle.
Okay, let me define a couple things here. A retail installment contract is the actual bank contract that you sign that says what you're paying for the car and how much your monthly payments are going to be and when they are due. It is actually a financial instrument that the bank uses to collect money from you. If you stop paying them, they will come repossess the car based on that document. A buyer's order is basically a contract between you and the dealership. It also tells what you're paying for the car, but there's a lot of language on there that talks about warranties, and also sometimes you'll see something about an arbitration agreement. Now, folks, if you sign a document that says that has anything to do with arbitration, what that's designed to do is if you have a dispute with the dealership, you have to submit to go to arbitration rather than to sue them in court, because car dealers don't like to go to court because most of the time they lose, okay? And it's a bias in some cases, but other cases it's legitimate, you know, and sometimes car dealers win. It's just not very often.
It's just a typical thing against car dealers. You know, the dealer could be 100% correct in what they're doing, but
it's a jury, and it's what they think is what matters. So there was a consumer who was interested in buying a car at a dealership up in Pennsylvania, and they filled out an online credit application. A few months later, I don't know why so a couple months elapsed, but the representative told the consumer that they'd been approved for financing with the bank. And so the consumer comes in, signs a contract, a retail installment contract, which is the one I talked about first, the bank, and a buyer's order for the purchase of the vehicle. She traded in her old car. She made a $500 down payment and left the dealership with a new vehicle. But about 2 weeks later, the buyer learns that the bank that financed her vehicle wasn't the original bank, but it was another bank that did the financing, and that decision was contingent upon her proving her income. Well, you know, that was never a stipulation at first, but it became a stipulation with the second bank. Does the dealership, you know, have the right to call her and say, hey, we need you to sign another contract because the first one is not valid? Well, yes, if the consumer signs something called a conditional delivery. Okay, so if the dealership has you sign something that says a conditional delivery, then they're not 100% sure that you're going to get financed. So that should set off some alarm bells. You know, I think a lot of customers should just be careful and ask the question, is my transaction approved by the bank? Yes or no? And if they say no, then don't leave with the car unless you feel 100% comfortable. My recommendation to a buyer is take delivery of the car when you're approved, you know, when the paperwork that you sign is going to be the paperwork. Do you agree with that, Abby?
I agree with that. I think there are certain situations where it might get a little where I would feel comfortable leaving in the vehicle.
But if you know you have good credit and you know, and it's just a weekend and they can't get in touch with the buy, with
right,
the,
yes,
the people
yes, that
at the
was
bank,
the point
something
that
like
I was
that.
Make, yes.
But if you know you've got marginal credit,
right,
you're the one that's late on your bills.
Right.
I mean,
yes.
You know this. So, they have you sign a conditional delivery form, then you need to ask the question.
This is a very tricky spot to be in, because I have seen this happen with customers where they get sent out in the vehicle believing that they own the vehicle. They fall in love with the vehicle, and then they come back. There's a different rate. They're signing a different contract.
That's right.
And they're already in love with this vehicle. They've moved their stuff into it. They've put the insurance on the car, but their payment's $50 higher.
Now, folks, if they do that to you and you didn't sign any kind of conditional thing, you can hold them to that original contract.
Well, you don't have to keep the car either.
No, you don't. You can hand them the keys and walk away.
You can hand them the key. But that is not uncommon, unfortunately.
But dealerships will push back on that, and this particular dealership did. So what happened was they could not get the second bank to take over the contract, which means that the dealership wasn't going to get paid, because dealers don't collect on monthly payments. We sell those contracts to the bank. The bank pays us the purchase price, and then the bank collects the money. And that's why instead of when you buy a car from, let's say, a dealership in Johnson City, and you're making payments on the car to a bank or to a credit union, okay? So the dealers, you're not making payments to the Honda dealer in Johnson City. So what happened just a short while later, 6 days before the buyer's first installment payment was due, she's still in the car, okay? 6 days before the payments due, they come and repossess the car and refuse to return her trade-in, which they had already sold, and they wouldn't return the down payment. Now, what possible justification would they have for doing that? I have no idea.
I can't, you know, that story is strange in so many different ways, but in that specific, not returning the vehicle, or at least the value that they paid her for
Absolutely.
The vehicle,
yeah.
And her down payment, and that's just very fishy to
well,
me.
Well, the buyer thought it was fishy, too, and they sued the dealership, and they got a good lawyer because they sued them under 6 different provisions. And that's what lawyers do many times, is they will look at, okay, what are all the potential violations that this dealership had with this consumer? And they charge them, or they sue them on all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Or several of them, and I won't get into each one. But the important thing, I think, the important takeaway from this is be very careful what you sign. If you're signing a retail installment contract, and the dealership requires arbitration, and it says that if you want to sue them, you can't. You have to take it to arbitration. That arbitration agreement has to be a part of that installment contract, and I don't know any contracts that we have, for example, in our dealership, and we represent or we go through a lot of different banks, that has any kind of arbitration agreement as
well,
a part
and
of it.
A way that you can look on your contract, a way that you can sort of protect yourself a little bit, is if you're signing a generic contract,
mm-hmm.
okay, those are...
That it doesn't say the name of the bank on
at
it.
At the top. If it doesn't say the name of the bank on the top, it'll say law agreement or something
okay.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just ask the finance manager where that contract is assigned to the bank and have them show you that your contract has a bank on it.
Yeah.
That way, they aren't fishing for a bank. You know, they have a very specific bank, because a bank will not accept a contract where they're not assigned as the lien holder.
Yeah, another red flag here, folks, is if the you sign the paperwork at the dealership, a retail installment contract, or a buyer's order, or both, and they won't give you a copy of it, okay? Because they don't want to give you a copy of it in case they have to change it later.
Right.
So if they won't give you a copy of it, then don't leave with the car. Just wait until you get 100% approval. I know it's exciting to get a new car, and you want it. You've been there half the day trying to figure it out. But these are some of the games that some of the unscrupulous dealers in the market will use to put people in something when they're just hoping they can get it bought. And plus, Abby, don't you think they're kind of relying on human nature a little bit to them really to want it, and
mm-hmm.
if they want it bad enough, they may come up with the extra down payment or something that you need,
right?
Or be willing to pay a little more because they've already shown the car off. You know,
right.
They've had it in their driveway. They've called Uncle Susie or Aunt Susie and Uncle Bill.
Well, that's the part that just makes me so sad when I think about customers getting out there in these cars, and then they come back and their payment's $50 higher. You
yeah.
know, that's
yeah.
and sometimes that is. Unavoidable. You know, if you have a bank that you can't prove your income,
mm-hmm.
we've had customers deceive us on their income in the past.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have to say, I need you to bring me your check stub.
Yeah.
And they say, well, it's actually all under the table
yeah.
or something like that. That
yeah,
creates
that,
problems.
It does. And the bank has to, they have certain standards. It may not be a bank. It could be a credit union. It could
right.
be anybody. But the good news for this consumer is she won. She didn't win on all counts, but she won on most of the counts. And so she got to keep the car. And I don't know, I think there were some damages that she was awarded too, which she should have been. I mean, she was put through the ringer. And when this kind of thing happens, if you feel like you've been taken advantage of on a car deal, don't hesitate to call me, and I'll be glad to go through the paperwork with you and see exactly where you stand and maybe give you some advice. I am not a lawyer, but I've been in the car business long enough to know a deal that's gone south and isn't right. And so sometimes the people here at the dealership will come and ask me my opinion on something, and I'm not always right either, because it has changed. You know, I'm an old geezer.
No, you're not.
So I don't know everything, but I know a lot. If I can help you, don't hesitate to call me. My personal cell phone number is 423-552-2020. And if I don't know the answer, I'll get Abby. She'll probably know.
Yeah, bring your paperwork in here. I've looked over paperwork for people. I have friends that live in Nashville, and they'll go to a dealership and send me a picture and say, what does this look like to you? Does this look okay?
And sometimes it does.
Sometimes it does. Yeah. And I'm happy to help in any way I can, too.
Well, thanks, folks, and we'll be back here in just a minute. Okay, folks, so the two documents that are the most vital, I think, when you buy a car is the retail buyer's order. It could be called a sales contract, but that states or should state all of the rules that the dealership uses that they will rely on in terms of warranties, in terms of arbitration if they require customers to go through arbitration. That should all be on that agreement. If they have you sign any other documents, just ask what they are. You know, you can read them, and if you don't understand what it is, then ask them. And if you don't like it, say, I'm not signing this. I'm not agreeing to arbitration. And then hopefully it'll never come to that. But also the retail installment contract. That's the big long one, you know, that they have you sign that has all the printing on the front and back. And it states the amount you're paying for the car, taxes, fees, you know, if you bought an extended warranty, any of that stuff will be listed on there. And also which bank is financing the transaction. When you sign that, you should be done with your deal, and you should walk out and not hear anything else from them except the thank you note. That's it. Beyond that, when they call you back and say, hey, we couldn't get you handled, you're going to have to come in and sign another contract, that's a red flag right there, and just watch out when that happens. So you are not required unless you signed some type of other document which waived your rights, and then it's become a spitting contest, as my mom used to call them. And if you get into that, that's a bad way to start a relationship with a car dealership, and it might be time to talk to the general manager of the dealership at that point. Just don't get pushed around. If you have any questions, give me a call, 423-552-2020, Lenny Lawson, the Car Guru, and I will see you tomorrow.